Rod Dreher was dying from the inside out. His body had turned against him. Chronic mononucleosis, triggered by stress, had left him bedridden, exhausted, unable to work. But the physical collapse was merely a symptom. The real disease was spiritual, a toxic stew of family resentment, unfulfilled expectations, and a homecoming that had curdled into nightmare. He'd moved his family back to rural Louisiana to help raise his late sister's children and reconnect with aging parents. Instead, he found himself trapped in childhood wounds that refused to heal. Then a rheumatologist delivered a stark diagnosis: leave Louisiana or resign yourself to destroying your health. Refusing both options, Dreher stumbled into an unlikely lifeline, a 700-year-old Italian poem about hell, purgatory, and paradise. Dante's Divine Comedy became the map that guided him out of his personal inferno, teaching him that the way forward sometimes requires descending into darkness first. Dante inhabited a sacramental world where everything pointed beyond itself. A sunrise was God's daily promise. Creation, a network of symbols revealing divine truths. The universe was a poem to be loved. This worldview shaped the Commedia's architecture, 100 cantos and tercets linked by rhyme, reflecting the Trinity's number three. The revolutionary insight? Salvation means being freed from the desire to sin, from preferring our will over God's. It begins now, not after death. Midway in the journey of our life, I came to myself in a dark wood, for the straight way was lost. Neuroscience shows stories affect us like actual experiences. We process them as if living them ourselves. Stories tell us how to think, what to do, what to love and fear. In our secular age, we no longer believe we're part of any universal story. We're free to choose our own narratives, but this freedom makes us slaves to our passions. Without an objectively true story, how can we know we've chosen correctly? Dante's journey teaches that we need guides. Virgil represented human reason, Beatrice, divine revelation. Dreher found his own trinity, Dante himself, therapist Mike Holmes, and Orthodox priest Father Matthew Harrington. Despite doing everything right, Dante lost everything when rivals exiled him from Florence. Our reckoning will come too, through betrayal, divorce, loss of faith, or death. This medieval framework gave Dreher a roadmap. Understand how you lost your way before you can find it again. Dante must descend before ascending, journeying into hell to confront sin's horror. Hell functions as a spiritual black hole. At its center dwells Satan, whose name Lucifer means light-bearer. Pride is spiritual gravity. Lucifer's immense pride collapsed on itself, forming hell. All souls trapped there are miniature black holes, so consumed by self-gratification that love barely escapes their egos. Dreher's obsession with his failed homecoming had created similar darkness, draining joy from everything. In the circle of heretics, he recognized himself in Farinata degli Uberti, a proud Florentine who, even in hell, remains fixated on earthly concerns. His family had made idols of family loyalty and place. Then his niece Hannah revealed a shocking truth. "We were raised in a house where our mama had a bad opinion of you." She and her sisters grew up hearing Ruthie and their grandfather disparage Dreher as a user, contemptible, manipulative. This devastated him. He'd been a fool about his family, dragging his wife Julie and children into his folly, trapped by an illusory image of a loving, united family. While Inferno shows consequences, Purgatorio teaches overcoming tendencies that prevent spiritual wholeness. The ascent begins with humility, symbolized by the reed at the mountain's base, a plant that bends without breaking. Unlike hell's damned who curse everything, Purgatory's penitents sing psalms while shedding destructive habits. When Mike asked, "Do you want to be healed?" echoing Jesus at Bethesda, he confronted Dreher with a fundamental choice. Understanding isn't enough. Healing requires action. On the terrace of pride, souls bent toward the ground face the dust from which they came. Dreher saw his family in Umberto's lament that pride has undone not only me, but all my kinsmen. On the terrace of envy, souls with eyes sewn shut must depend on each other, learning to see neighbors with compassion's inner eye. He recognized his envy toward family members who remained in Starhill. At the terrace of wrath, choking black smoke blinds Dante and Virgil, anger's physical manifestation. Here, Marco the Lombard delivers the poem's crown jewel. Humans have free will and must take responsibility rather than blaming external forces. If the world goes astray, in you is the cause. The revelation struck Dreyer like lightning, echoing Mike's first message. You can't change the world, but you can change how you react to it. His wrath had blinded him to the love in his imperfect family. He realized he controlled which images entered his mind. They didn't control him. The path forward became clear. Take responsibility for his own healing rather than waiting for his family to change. This insight extended to his struggle with sloth, not laziness, but apathy that narrows one's concern beyond oneself. After his friend Jack's sudden death, he painfully realized time is love. His slothfulness had cost opportunities to show love while Jack was alive. This awakened urgency. I could not allow slothfulness, which is a lack of love, to keep me from doing whatever reasonable thing was possible to bridge the gap between us while there was still time. In Eden, Beatrice declares Dante sovereign over his body and intellect. Having restored him to original innocence and perfected him in virtue, Virgil has fulfilled his role. He's taken Dante as far as reason unaided by grace can go. This illuminated Dreyer's lifelong search for home, his Welsh Hyreth, that boundless longing for a place from which he'd been exiled. He realized his error. He'd been seeking Eden in Starhill, expecting from his family what they couldn't give. He confused childhood memories with paradise itself. The painful truth? This perfect home never existed. Instead, he had Starhill, with its red clay roads, his wife and children, the ancient rhythms of church life, and friends who loved him as he was. These imperfect gifts formed a different kind of paradise, one built on acceptance rather than idealization. In Paradiso's lowest sphere, Piccarda Donati teaches that accepting what you've been given with gratitude brings peace. In his will is our peace. Heaven's perfection isn't equality, but harmony, each soul bearing as much divine light as their nature can accept. Dreyer saw how he'd been bound by hurt over broken family bonds, unable to let go of his passion for justice. Now he understood he could no longer use his father and sister's flaws as excuses to shirk his responsibility to love. When Dreyer's father fell ill with severe fever, they spent a night in the geriatric emergency room, seeing his frailty and hearing him say, "The windows on my life are closing to just a thin space," Dreyer knew he needed to confess, for speaking in anger, avoiding visits, and withholding love. Sitting knee to knee, he confessed, "I have sinned against you, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. I have been angry with you. I have not loved you as well as I should have." His father's lip trembled as he softly responded, "I forgive you, darling." His father admitted, "I just didn't know how to love you. You were not what I expected." Though his father didn't ask for forgiveness in return, Dreyer resisted self-pity. Love isn't a contractual exchange. It's given without expectation. On Theophany, standing at the Mississippi River landing for the traditional blessing of the waters, Dreyer realized this spot marked where his self-imposed exile began in 1984, and now marks his true homecoming. Though nothing changed externally, he felt settled, stable, healed, and free. The Epstein-Barr virus remains, but its debilitating effects have largely disappeared. Through grace, his heart has moved toward harmony with the love that moves the sun and all the other stars. Your dark wood, whatever form it takes, isn't the end of your story. It's the beginning of your journey home.